that he would end things with her after this weekend, but he'd known as soon as he saw her at the airport that that wasn't true. Not only that he wouldn't, but he couldn't. She turned around, and for a minute he felt like he'd said the right thing. That was until he saw the look on her face. "Here's how I know the wedding wasn't real, Drew. Because at the wedding, you called me your girlfriend. In real life, I'm nothing to you." He shook his head. She was so far from nothing. "That's not, it is true. Since the wedding, I've been just Alexa, or sometimes my friend Alexa, or occasionally dramatic pause Alexa, but never your girlfriend. Because in real life, Drew Nichols doesn't do girlfriends, which is fine. That's fine. At least you're honest. But don't try to pretend that I'm making this up right now." Oh, thank God, she could finally, legitimately be mad at Drew. She'd felt guilty being mad at him earlier. It hadn't been his fault that she had feelings for him, or that she'd wanted him to return those feelings so much she'd almost convinced herself that he did. But it was his fault that he was now trying to act like he'd wanted her with him at the wedding for anything more than a shield. And it sure as hell was his fault he sounded so smug she'd admitted she cared about him. He rubbed his eyes and ran his fingers through his hair. Even after all of this, she had to fight to not reach up and touch it. "Alexa, can we talk about this, please?" She shook her head. The patented Drew breakup talk was the last thing she wanted right now. "No need for a conversation. I know the drill." He stepped closer to her. She was annoyed that even in the midst of this fight they were never going to come back from, she just wanted to step into his arms and have him tell her everything was going to be okay. "Come on. Can you calm down for a minute and let me say something?" That solved that problem. Nothing pissed her off more than a man telling her to calm down. "I get it. My feelings aren't worth anything to you, but I can be as uncalm as I want about this. No, no, that's not what I meant. I just want to..." He paused and put his hand on her arm. "I just want to explain." At his touch, tears shot to her eyes. She shook his arm off and turned away from him. "Don't worry about it, Drew. You don't need to explain. Your feelings come through loud and clear." She opened the door and ran back downstairs before he could reach for her again. Thank God no one was in the bathroom. She ducked in there for a few minutes to take a deep breath and swallow the tears that it threatened. She washed her hands, dabbed cold water under her eyes, and faked a smile at herself in the mirror like she hadn't just had a sangria-fueled relationship-ending fight in the middle of a party. When she walked out of the bathroom, she ran into Heather, coming out of the kitchen with more cupcakes. "Awesome. You can help me carry these." Heather handed her a tray of cupcakes. Thankful for something to do, Alexa carried them outside. She took a deep breath before she walked through the door, but a quick scan of the crowd showed her no evidence of either Drew or Carlos in the yard. She did see Lucy, though, and put two red velvet cupcakes on a plate for the two of them. "You said this was your favorite, right?" Alexa held out the plate to Lucy, and soon they both had red tongues and lips smeared in cream cheese frosting. Robin joined them with a cupcake of her own and a pile of napkins. Alexa had just relaxed a little and wiped her mouth when the circle opened and she heard Drew's voice. "Alexa." His voice was steady, like their fight had made no impact on him. "I got a call. I've got to be at the hospital in 30 minutes. He touched his hand to her shoulder and dropped it almost as quickly. "Sorry to do this to you guys, but I have to take Alexa away from you. Duty calls." She thought about telling him that she'd stay, that she could get a ride home later, and also that he could go fuck himself. But her political training hadn't completely deserted her. Not even this much sangria would allow her to let all of these people know her business. So instead, she gave everyone in the group hugs goodbye amid false promises of getting drinks the next time she was in town, and followed Drew to his car. Drew had stayed in Heather's bedroom for a while after Alexa had fled. He'd wanted to run after her, to tell her no, she'd gotten it all wrong. That wasn't how he felt, But he'd already made a mess of this conversation, so he figured he should maybe wait and try again when they got home after the party and could really talk. But then he got a call from the hospital and had to run outside and grab her in a hurry. He thought about asking Carlos to drive her home, but after basically accusing Carlos of hitting on her, he wasn't in the best position to ask Carlos for a favor. Plus, he didn't want Alexa to think he was pissed at her and had ditched her at the party. However, from the look on her face and the way she refused to meet his eyes when he found her outside, he thought for a second that she'd tell him to go on without her. That would have pissed him off. That he could tell she'd considered it even pissed him off. They drove without talking for a few minutes. The only noise in the car, the pop music she'd been singing along to on the way there. She broke the silence before he could. "Did you really get a call from the hospital, or was that just your excuse to leave?" That's when he lost his temper. "What the fuck, Alexa? Really? You really think I would make up a call from the hospital just to get you out of there? Do you think I'm that much of a child?" She didn't respond, and when he glanced her way, she just shrugged. That made his temper flare even higher. "Really? You have that low of an opinion of me, just because I didn't introduce you to people as my girlfriend? Just because I don't use the exact word that you want me to use to describe you, you decide I'm the kind of asshole who would lie to you and all of my friends like that? When you decided to push back our dinner reservations by an hour last night, because you were on the phone with your buddy, Teddy, writing one fucking sentence together for 45 minutes, did I call you a controlling bitch workaholic who doesn't pay attention to anyone else's feelings? No, I didn't. But I sure as hell could have." He thought he saw her flinch out of the corner of his eye, but when he turned to look at her, her face was impassive. "At least I finally know what you really think of me." He turned into his parking spot, his sudden anger gone as quickly as it had come. "No, Alexa, I didn't..." She was out of the car before he could say anything else. He followed her up to his apartment, unlocked the door, and pushed it open for her before following her inside. "I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean it. That's not how I feel," he said as soon as he shut the door. Her back was still to him as she walked around the living room, picking up her stuff. "Alexa, come on, talk to me." She finally turned to him. He looked at the pile of her stuff in her hands. "Wait a minute. What are you doing?" She neatly piled it all into the big purse she always used on the airplane. "What does it look like I'm doing? Why are you still here? Don't you have to go to the hospital?" He shook his head in reaction to what she'd said, in reaction to everything. "No, I mean, yes, I have to go to the hospital. But no, please don't pack. Don't leave now. You can't leave now. I have to talk to you." She stood there, silently staring somewhere around the base of his neck, but not meeting his eyes. He closed the distance between them and held on to her shoulders. She finally looked up at him, but still didn't say anything. "Promise me. Promise you won't leave. If this has meant anything to you at all, promise me you won't leave while I'm at the hospital." She closed her eyes and dropped her head, but he didn't let go of her. Finally, she whispered, "Okay, I promise." He pulled her into his arms. She leaned her head against his shoulder for a quick second before she stepped backward. "Go. You're going to be late." She was right. He looked back over his shoulder at her on his way out the door, but she had already turned to look out the window. Alexa dropped into a chair and put her head in her hands as soon as he walked out the door. What a fucking nightmare the past few hours had been. She'd planned the whole way home in the car to pack and take a cab to the airport as soon as he left for the hospital. But now she couldn't even do that. She was usually the last person who would leave in the middle of a fight. She liked to finish any discussion. She liked closure, and she always wanted to know exactly where she stood. But this time, she couldn't wait to get out of there. She already knew where she stood. She didn't need him to say it out loud. She didn't want to finish this fight, didn't want him to tell her what she knew was coming, didn't want to have to deal with the pain of listening to the gentle breakup speech he'd perfected on the dozen women who came before her. What would be even worse was if he didn't give her the breakup speech today. If instead he found some way to convince her to stay with him. That would just postpone the inevitable and make it hurt all the more when he finally decided to move on and make her feel even more stupid when he did. That's why she had to get out of there, fly back to Berkeley so she could hide inside of her apartment and eat ice cream and cry for an entire day before she had to face anyone. But now she'd promised him she wouldn't leave, and as much as she wanted to break that promise, she wouldn't. And now she had to sit here and wait, with only her own thoughts for company. She thought about calling Maddie, but she knew if she did, she would break down on the phone, and the last thing she wanted was to have Drew walk in on her while she was sobbing her heart out over him. Instead, she changed, finished packing, and tried and failed to concentrate on work. Finally, she got into Drew's bed and pulled up Anne of Green Gables on her iPad. Anne was right to smash her slate over Gilbert's head. Fuck him for calling her carrots. Drew got home much later that night, after an easy but long surgery. Thank God it had been an easy one. His mind was half on Alexa the entire time. Part of him was pissed at her that she'd started a fight over what seemed like nothing, but the rest of him was terrified that she'd left and he'd never see her again. One thing she'd said at the party had kept ringing in his ears. In real life, I'm nothing to you. Was that how she really felt? Was that how he'd made her feel? Because now he realized how far from the truth that was. She meant more to him than he could say. Then he knew how to say. The whole way up the stairs to his apartment, he prayed that she'd kept her promise and was still there. He tiptoed into his bedroom, hoping she was there, not sure what to do if she was. He'd been rehearsing what to say the whole drive home. But now everything that he'd thought of seemed stupid and inadequate. He stopped in the doorway of his bedroom and sighed in relief. All of his lights were on, and Alexa was asleep in that way that was so familiar to him now, curled up on her side in his bed, the covers pulled up to her chin, her iPad resting on her face. He turned the lights off and undressed in the dark. He moved the iPad to the bedside table and crawled in next to her. He'd always loved getting in bed with her. It was one of his favorite things about her, the way she would melt into his arms every time he put his arms around her. But this time, she stiffened at his touch. It broke his heart. He tightened his arms around her and kissed her neck, her hair, the side of her face. After a few seconds, he felt her relax. He reached up and stroked her hair. "Alexa, please, please can we talk?" She turned in his arms and rested her head against his chest, but didn't say anything. "I'm sorry about what I said earlier. I got frustrated, and I didn't mean it. Please forgive me, sweetheart." Her face was hidden in his chest, so at first he only heard her irregular breathing and didn't realize the cause. But when he reached down to stroke her face and tilted up toward his, he felt the tears on her face. "Oh, no, Alexa. Oh, please, no, don't cry." He kissed her forehead and pulled her closer to his chest, but she only cried harder. "I can't do this, Drew." He could barely understand her through her sobs. "This is too... it hurts too much. We can't do this anymore." "No." He hoped that he'd heard her wrong, but he knew that wasn't the case. "No, that's not... please don't do this. Don't do this to me. To us. Alexa, please. I want this more than anything. You make me so happy. We make me so happy." She shook her head and sobbed harder. "Oh, Drew, you're so... please don't make this even..." He bent down to kiss her wet face, cutting her off before she could finish talking. She kissed him back hard, still hiccuping as her hands roamed his body. He caressed her breasts as he kissed her. He cut off the kiss just long enough to pull her tank top over her head and moved down her body. She dug her fingernails into his shoulders, and he hissed, but she didn't stop. He didn't want her to stop. He moved farther down her body, knowing by her slightest twist and moan and gasp where he should linger. Her hands were tight in his hair, and he felt the tug on his scalp just before he heard her gasp and felt her contract around him. He lifted his head and looked down at her. Her eyes were closed, but the tears were once again running down her cheeks. He kissed them away. She opened her eyes when she heard the crinkle of the condom wrapper opening. He was kneeling between her thighs, looking at her in that way he'd looked at her since the beginning, like he couldn't wait to touch her, like he couldn't wait for her to touch him. She couldn't wait either. She ran her hands up and down his warm chest. He picked up her hands and kissed them. He pinned them above her head, holding onto her wrists with one hand. He bent closer to her until his mouth was almost on hers, his body inches away. But he didn't close the short distance. She moved to meet him, but he moved away, a faint smile dancing around his lips. "You know what I want," he said. "Tell me. Tell me what you want." She looked at him, all warm and golden and strong above her. She said what was in her heart. "You, I want you." He pushed her legs wide open and slid inside of her. Their twin moans echoed around the room. Too quickly, her whole body tensed and she exploded, tears once again streaming from her eyes, words she knew she would be embarrassed about later coming from her mouth. He quickened his pace and came, collapsing on top of her when the tremors throughout his body finally stopped. "You have me," he said in her ear, so low she wasn't sure if she'd heard him right. Chapter 22. When Drew woke up the next morning, she was gone. He turned over in bed and reached for her, but her side of the bed was empty and cold. He sat up and looked around the room. The floor was bare in that corner where he'd been tripping over her suitcase all weekend. God damn it! He got out of bed and looked around the apartment, but all evidence of her was gone. He looked for his phone and found it sitting in the middle of the coffee table, waiting for him. "I'm sorry about how I acted at the party. You and I both know this is over. I had a great time with you, Drew." "That was it? That was motherfucking it? I had a great time with you?" He'd told her how he felt last night, and then she fucking disappeared in the morning like he was some one-night stand she couldn't wait to get away from. He lay flat on his back on the sofa, still naked. How fucking perfect that the first time he'd really cared about a woman in years, she'd fled the scene without even saying goodbye. He should tell Molly about this. She'd get a good laugh out of it. He sat up and grabbed his phone. He was going to text Alexa back, tell her to get back here, that he wanted to talk to her. This was more than just a great time. Why the fuck had she left before they had a chance to talk? He typed out the text to her in a flurry. Right before he was about to hit send, he dropped the phone. He tucked it under the couch cushions and sat on it for good measure. He flopped onto his back again and covered his head with a couch cushion. Why was he being so fucking emotional? He'd ended things with girls lots of times. Was this how they all felt when he did it? He hoped not. Otherwise, he would feel like an asshole. He felt his ass vibrate, sat bolt upright, and fished the phone from underneath it. Maybe she was at the airport and had second thoughts and was texting him to say that she was on her way back. Maybe she was right outside and was texting him to say she was about to knock on the door. It was Carlos, not Alexa. "Hey, man, everything cool with you and Alexa? You disappeared from Heather's last night." Oh, fuck. On top of everything else, he had to apologize to Carlos. "Hey, sorry I was an asshole last night." He stood up to go flick the switch on the coffee pot, glad that he'd set it up yesterday afternoon. "We're cool. I don't think I'm the one you have to worry about, though.
He stared at his coffee pot, now brewing twice as much coffee as he would need.
Tell me about it.
He shook his head. Fuck Alexa. She wasn't worth all of this. Fuck this emotional bullshit. He was going for a run. Maybe he'd run into Kat.
Alexa sat on the airplane at LAX and buckled her seatbelt. She hoped this damn plane would take off soon, so she wouldn't grab her bag and run back to Drew's. She'd been sitting at the airport for the past 2 hours, unshowered, her hair in a messy topknot, no makeup on. And the whole time, she'd resisted the temptation to turn around and jump back under his covers and next to his warm, sleeping body, before he even realized she was gone. Last night, before she'd gone to sleep, she'd planned on having an adult conversation with Drew. She wasn't going to tell him how strong her feelings were for him, because he didn't need to know that. The last thing she wanted was his pity. She'd planned to tell him it was nothing against him, but she knew how he felt about relationships, and she couldn't do this anymore. She would have just blamed the distance making it tough, and how she couldn't keep flying up and down the state anymore. How this had been fun for a couple of months, but they both knew it couldn't last much longer. All of that had the benefit of being the truth. It just wasn't the whole truth. But then he crawled into bed with her in the middle of the night and put his arms around her, and she'd broken down. All she'd wanted in that moment was to stay right there in his arms forever, to ignore everything in her head telling her this was never going to work, and they were too different and wanted different things, and just give in to the warmth and security of his arms. The impossibility of that had made her burst into tears. Her, Alexa Monroe, who never cried. And when he said sweet things about making it work, she'd lost it completely and sobbed so hard she'd hiccuped. She knew what his version of making things work was. They'd just keep going the same way they'd been going for a while longer, a few more weeks, a month even, before she'd get his breakup speech and he'd disappear. But she wanted so much for it to be true, that he did want to make it work for real. She wanted him to love her and for them to push through all of their problems together because they loved each other enough to be able to do it. So she cried to mourn what could have been, how good his arms felt around her and his chest felt against her face, and how she would never get to feel that again. Her tears had revealed her feelings for him even more than words could have. How humiliating! She'd cultivated her poker face for years, and in the most important moment she'd had in years, it had betrayed her in the worst possible way. She'd woken up this morning with his arms still around her. She'd been too scared and ashamed to face him and have to see the look of pity on his face, or listen to his platitudes about how it wasn't her, it was him, and how he hoped they could stay friends. So instead, she'd tiptoed out of his apartment early this morning and dragged her suitcase blocks away so she could get a cab to the airport. Was that cowardly of her? Probably. But she'd rather be a coward than break down in front of him again, and in broad daylight this time, so he could see how bad she looked when she cried. And then once she actually got to the airport, she had to pay way too much money to get her flight changed from her original one. Maddie, God bless her, had asked no questions when she texted her to pick her up from the airport. Maddie was waiting at the curb when Alexa walked out of the airport. Maddie took a long look at her face when she got in the passenger seat.
First, are we going to your house or my house?
Alexa considered as Maddie drove out of the airport.
Do you still need my car until you can pick yours up tomorrow? If so, my house.
Okay.
There was silence as Maddie got on the freeway toward Berkeley.
Do you want to talk about it?
Alexa dropped her head back against the headrest and closed her eyes.
I don't know. I just want to be somewhere and not cry, she sighed. I've spent the past 5 hours doing everything in my power to not cry. At his house, at the airport, on the plane.
She checked her phone again to see if he'd called. He hadn't.
Now I can at least stop fighting it.
Maddie reached for her hand and squeezed it.
You want me to drive through In-N-Out on the way?
Alexa shrugged.
I'm not really hungry.
Maddie shook her head. Now I know you're in a bad place. I'm getting you in and out whether you like it or not.
When they walked through Alexa's front door, everything in her house reminded her of Drew. The couch where he'd cried on her shoulder, the towel he'd stolen from the hotel for them to lie on in Dolores Park, now hanging up in her bathroom, the coffee table where he'd set her coffee while she was working, the hoodie that he'd left here on his impromptu trip and that she'd forgotten to bring back to him this weekend. She lowered herself down on the couch and put her head in her hands.
Lex.
She felt Maddie's hand on her shoulder and leaned into it. Maddie wrapped her arms around her. They sat there like that on the couch for a while, not talking. Eventually, Alexa sighed.
You were right. I want some French fries.
You got us ketchup, right?
Of course.
Maddie ripped the bags open and unpacked the food on top of the makeshift placemats.
Now, talk to me.
Alexa dropped her head into her hands.
Oh, Mad. I fucked it all up.
Maddie pulled her head onto her shoulder.
What happened?
It was all going okay. I mean, we hadn't talked about anything, but the weekend was fine.
Great.
And then we went to the 4th of July party. She thought about the party, and the humiliation hit her all over again. And all of these other women, they were so nice, but they said,
and he didn't,
I'd had too much sangria, but, oh, look, she was sobbing again. Maddie folded her into her arms and let her cry on her shoulder until she was too tired to cry anymore. She sat up and took a sip of her drink and ate a handful of cold fries.
I guess I should start over again.
She told Maddie the whole story, except for the part about the sex they'd had when she was weeping. That seemed too intimate, too personal, even to tell Maddie. She managed to get through the whole thing without crying, but she'd probably cried out all of her tears.
Honey, Maddie stroked her hair. Alexa, I love you. I would do anything for you. You know that, right?
She sighed and nodded. She'd heard this before from Maddie, enough to know to worry about what was coming next.
Okay. Why didn't you just tell him how you felt about him? And tell him what you wanted. Why did you just disappear this morning?
She pushed herself to the other side of the couch.
I knew what he was going to say, okay? I didn't need to hear it.
Maddie looked at her. She didn't smile or raise her eyebrows or tilt her head. She just looked at her and wouldn't let her look away.
I was scared. Is that what you want to hear? Okay, fine. I was scared to talk to him. I was scared I would pour out my heart, and he would tell me he hoped we could stay friends. I was scared I would see in his face when I started talking that he felt sorry for me. I was scared I'd lay myself bare for nothing. And I was scared I would reveal my whole self to him, and he would avert his eyes.
She sighed.
I was scared.
Maddie wrapped her back up in a hug.
Oh, honey.
Alexa rested her head on Maddie's shoulder.
Oh, look, she did have more tears in there.
Maddie sat up.
Does cookie dough ice cream go better with red or white wine?
Alexa half laughed, half sobbed.
I guess we're about to find out.
Drew saw Kat on his run, but he dodged behind a truck at the last minute to avoid her. He got home in as shitty a mood as when he'd left. He ordered an enormous Hawaiian pizza and opened a bottle of rum, mostly because Alexa hated both. By 7 p.m., he never wanted to see another pineapple, but he finished the pizza just to spite her. Not that she would ever know, but maybe somewhere she had a terrible taste in her mouth, and it was thanks to him. He dragged himself into the hospital on Tuesday morning and managed to avoid having a conversation with anyone but his patients and their parents until almost 1 o'clock. Of course, that's when Carlos burst into his office.
Fuck.
He was grumpy and hungover. He didn't need to deal with Carlos. Never learned to knock, huh? He kept his head buried in his stack of files.
How was the rest of your weekend? Everything cool with you and...
Drew didn't even want to hear her name.
Leave it alone, Carlos.
Carlos moved the stack of books Drew had put on the guest office chair to the floor and plopped down in the chair.
Drew scowled.
He'd left those books on the chair to keep anyone from sitting there. He should have known that that wouldn't stop Carlos for a second.
No, really, what happened?
She looked pissed at the party, even before you said.
Drew looked up from the stupid files.
I said leave it alone, Carlos.
Did that stop him?
No, of course not.
Come on, man.
You have a fight?
It was bound to happen eventually.
Tell Dr. Carlos about it.
I'll get you all fixed up.
Drew couldn't take it anymore. He'd slept like shit because of the rum and the pizza and the absence of Alexa's soft, welcoming body next to him. His stomach was full of nothing but strong coffee. He had the worst possible taste in his mouth, and Carlos apparently wasn't getting the message that he didn't fucking want to talk about it. He pushed himself up from his desk, and his chair slammed back against the wall behind him.
I said, leave it alone.
He threw open his office door, ignored the stunned look on Carlos's face, and walked out of the hospital to his car. He had 30 minutes before his next patient. That was enough time to eat something disgusting and terrible for him. Alexa walked into City Hall bright and early Tuesday morning. She'd been up since 4, so at 5:30 she'd given up on more sleep and had gotten ready for work. At least she hadn't dreamed about Drew, though her anxiety dreams all had very loud Drew subtext. Awake, he was never far from her thoughts. She kept thinking of what he would say about her presentation, if he'd thought about her at all, the look on his face when they'd made love that last time, the way he always held her as they slept. It was a lot easier to think about work. She brought a carafe of coffee and a box of donuts into the office, along with a bag of donut holes. She ate the donut holes all morning while catching up on email and expense reports, and got so absorbed in the mindlessness of it that she jumped when Sloane exclaimed from her office doorway, "You brought donuts, thank God!" Sloane walked in and popped open the box.
"Wait, all dozen are still here? You haven't had one yet?"
If she hadn't bought herself the bag of donut holes, she would have demolished the entire box of donuts before anyone else had gotten there. Theo walked in right behind Sloane and dove into the donut box. He came up with the maple bar that she'd gotten for him.
"You're a queen among women, Lex."
"She is, isn't she?"
Sloane picked up the box.
"Want me to bring this out to my desk? Need more coffee?"
Alexa nodded to both questions. Theo dropped into her office chair as soon as Sloane left.
"Got your email last night. Did you see mine?"
She nodded. She'd seen it at 4 this morning, when she'd woken up and checked her phone. They talked city council strategy as they drank coffee and ate their donuts, and argued about whether they could count on Councilman Good to be on their side or not. The conversation soothed her. This she knew how to do. This she was good at. Theo reached for her bag of donut holes.
"Hey, how was your weekend in L.A.?"
She shook her head. If she said anything to Theo, she might break down again, and work was the last place she wanted to do that. Well, the last place was probably Drew's bed, at 1 in the morning with him there to witness it, but work was second to that.
"Oh, no. What happened?" Theo asked.
She shook her head again before he could finish his sentence. He reached for her hand and squeezed it. She squeezed back and let go.
"I can't, Teddy. Maybe later."
He nodded.
"Okay, but you know that if you ever want to talk..."
She nodded down into her coffee. Yes, she did know. Theo took a deep breath.
"Okay, on to another topic that may also be sensitive. Have you talked to Olivia about any of the TARP stuff yet?"
Alexa looked up from her coffee. Theo was one of the only other people who knew about the history with Olivia. She'd told him all about it on a drunken night last year, right after they'd both had a terrible day at work, and when she was already anxious about Olivia coming to visit that weekend.
"What? No, why?"
He sat back in the chair, crossed his legs, and uncrossed them, and sat up again.
"You don't have to, of course, but I know we talked a while ago about how she might have some ideas that we hadn't thought of."
She started to interrupt, but he kept going. And also, we have all of those personal stories from people who went through programs like this and turned their lives around. And I thought maybe Olivia might be willing to write something up for us, or... Alexa looked down into her coffee again, gazing into the dark brown liquid like it was Dumbledore's pensieve. She knew Theo too well to be fooled by this. He was just making up reasons for her to talk to Olivia about TARP. But maybe he was right.
I never thought of that, she said, not looking up at Theo.
He stood up and walked toward her office door. You don't have to, of course, but maybe you want to.
I think she'd be pleased to hear you're doing this. I bet she'd be pretty touched.
Alexa looked up at him, the tears threatening again.
Somebody else said that, too. Maybe I will.
Theo's eyebrows went up.
You told.
She looked down at her desk, and his voice trailed away. After a minute, he said,
Think about it.
It might be good for you to talk to her about it.
She'd think about it. Maybe Drew had been right about this. Damn him.
Theo was halfway through her office door before she stopped him.
Teddy?
He turned around.
Yeah?
Thanks for everything.
Anytime.
Chapter 23. Friday after work, Drew went home and changed into his running clothes. He ran on the beach for 10 miles, trying to exhaust himself so much he didn't think about Alexa, and how he should be on a plane to go see her at that very moment. It didn't work. The shameful thing was that he'd already bought a ticket to fly up there that weekend. He'd bought it the day before she flew in for the 4th of July weekend, and he hadn't canceled it yet. He kept thinking he'd hear from her. He'd feel his phone vibrate in his pocket, and it would be a text from her. She'd say she was wrong to leave. She'd missed the hell out of him all week, just like he'd missed her. And then he would fly up there this weekend, and... But that hadn't happened. So he canceled his flight right before leaving the office. And now he was even grumpier than he'd been all week. Now it truly felt over. He climbed up the stairs to his apartment after his run, hot and sweaty and irritable, but no longer in the kind of mood where he would knock over small children in his path. That mood had been kind of inconvenient for a pediatrician. He pulled his house key out of the pocket in his running shorts, confused by the sound of the TV. It must be his neighbors, though they usually... Oh, no. "Who the fuck told you to come over?" he said, as he opened the door, knowing what he would find. Yep, Carlos sitting on his couch with a beer in his hand. "Hey, man." Carlos gestured to the spread on the coffee table. "I brought burgers and beer."
Drew looked at the food. His disloyal stomach growled.
"Okay, fine."
He dried his face with a paper towel and opened the fridge for one of Carlos's beers. This was bribery, but it's not like he was going to reject beer. Carlos would just have to deal with his sweat. He's the one who barged in uninvited in the first place. He finished a burger and a beer without them saying much to each other, except for grunts at the Dodgers game on the TV. Carlos went back to the kitchen and opened 2 more bottles. Maybe he'd just come over because he wanted company. Maybe Drew had been ignoring his friends because of Alexa, and Carlos had missed him and was taking advantage of this Friday night that Drew was in town to hang out, watch baseball, eat burgers, drink beer. Maybe.
All right.
Carlos turned off the TV and set a beer in front of Drew. How drunk do I have to get you before you tell me why you've been scaring the nurses and making your patients cry all week?
Maybe not.
I don't know what you're talking about. Drew downed half the beer. And that kid always cries. It wasn't my fault.
Carlos shook his head and took a handful of fries. His mom was crying this time, too.
Drew banged the beer down on the table, making it almost overflow. Just because I told her, if she'd been paying attention to her child, he wouldn't have gotten injured like that. Now I'm the bad guy? He turned to Carlos, whose mouth was wide open. Drew finished his beer and sighed. Fine, I am the bad guy. Get me another beer.
Carlos passed him his own untouched beer and stood up to get more.
Just tell me what happened, he said when he got back to the couch. It might make you feel better. I assume this is about Alexa, since you're all sweaty from a run on the beach on Friday night, and not from... Drew kicked Carlos, and he laughed. What? You told me yourself that when the two of you get together, it's all... Drew threw a French fry at him. Do you want to hear this fucking story, or are you going to keep sitting there making jokes about my girlfriend? He sighed. Forget I said that. She's not my girlfriend. She was never my girlfriend. Carlos grabbed a handful of French fries. Did you want her to be your girlfriend? Drew gulped the third beer. I don't know. Maybe. It doesn't matter, though. She hates me now. Carlos raised his eyebrows. Do you not have eyes? Because that's some bullshit right there. You forget, I've seen the two of you together. I've seen the way she looks at you. Unless you did something terrible that I don't know about. Drew shook his head. Yeah, maybe she had looked at him like that, but that was before. I'll tell you the whole story, then you'll see. Apparently the answer to Carlos's earlier question was three beers. It took him another beer to get all the way to the text message from Monday morning. Why did it hurt so much to tell Carlos what happened? See? I should have ended this a long time ago, before she could hate me. Carlos looked at the phone for a few seconds, and then up at Drew. No, you shouldn't have ended it a long time ago. What the fuck is wrong with you? You know, I always thought you were kind of an idiot, but I never knew you were this fucking stupid. Drew stood up and kicked the table. Ketchup flew across the floor. I bare my fucking soul to you, tell you how a girl left me asleep and naked in my bed, and this is what I get? Fuck you. Why don't you spend time dealing with your own fucked up life instead of worrying about mine? Carlos looked up at him from the couch with a blank expression on his face. He didn't budge. Drew put his head in his hands and shook his head. What was wrong with him? Carlos didn't deserve that. Sorry. That was a shitty thing to say. Carlos nodded. It was. Sit down. Drew looked at him, looked at the mess on the floor, then at Carlos again. He sat back down on the couch. Carlos sighed and leaned back against the couch cushions. Okay, look. I wasn't sure whether to tell you this, but after what happened, I think I have to. Drew lunged for him. Did you actually hit on her? You fucking asshole! I never really thought... Carlos pushed him back down on the couch. Relax, dude. Of course not. Come on. You know me better than that. Drew leaned back against the couch cushions and sighed. I do. I'm sorry. I'm a jackass. What terrible thing are you going to tell me now? Carlos stood up and dragged the coffee table back in place. It's something Emma told me after you guys left the party. She said she was feeling kind of bad, because when she and Heather and Robin and Lucy were all in the kitchen with Alexa, they started talking about you. Drew slumped down and reached for a bottle, but they were all empty. Carlos went to the kitchen for more beer for both of them. This must be bad if you're bringing me more beer. What did they say? Carlos opened both bottles and sighed. Well, I guess Alexa asked a few questions about you, and then they all ended up telling their, strikingly similar, I guess, stories of how you broke up with them. Shit. Drew dropped his head in his hands. That was why Alexa had been so upset all of a sudden. Carlos kept talking. She didn't tell me exactly what they said, and she said Alexa didn't seem upset about it, but... Drew lifted his head. She does a great fake smile. It fools most people. But not you? Carlos asked, sliding him his beer. Drew pushed it away. But not me, he sighed. She didn't tell you what they said? Carlos took a handful of fries. No, but I can guess. He raised his eyebrows, and Drew waved at him to continue. Better to get this over with. I mean... I've seen your pattern. After a month or two, when things are going well, you give them the let's be friends speech. Maybe she thought that was about to happen to her? He closed his eyes. Of course she'd thought that. Carlos patted him on the shoulder.
It's okay, man. I think you can fix this. He paused. If you want to fix it.
He couldn't remember ever wanting something more.
Of course I want to fix it, just like I want my med school loans to be magically wiped out, and every sick kid in our hospital to be well, and my knee to stop hurting when I run more than 10 miles. But I know all of that is impossible, too.
He sat back against the couch cushions, taking his beer with him. Carlos put down his food and stood up.
So you're just going to give up? You're not even going to try to get her back?
What good would it do? He sighed. Plus, it's not like I know how to have a real relationship. Even if it did work, I'd just fuck it up again.
Carlos sat back down in the corner of the couch. The asshole was in Alexa's spot.
Did you tell her how you felt about her? How you really feel?
He tried, but... He shrugged.
Forget whether she hates you. She doesn't. Or if you'd fuck things up again, you would. But you'd figure it out.
Carlos pushed a burger in his direction. He ignored it.
The real question is, how do you feel about Alexa? Because if you can't answer that question honestly and in a way that satisfies her, there's no real point in even trying to fix this.
Drew closed his eyes. He pictured Alexa laughing up at him in the elevator. Alexa dancing with him at the wedding. Alexa smiling at him from their pilfered towel in Dolores Park. Alexa eating tacos on his couch. Alexa frowning at her computer screen, oblivious to him. Alexa whispering coffee in his ear early in the morning. Alexa pulling his head down onto her shoulder when he'd flown to her side. Alexa tucked inside the curve of his arms in his bed. He opened his mouth, but the words stuck in his throat. Carlos shook his head.
It's okay, man. You don't have to tell me. But you've got to tell her.
Drew put his head in his hands.
I don't know if I can do this.
Carlos leaned back against the couch cushions and propped his feet up on an empty spot on the coffee table.
There is only one way to find out.
Chapter 24. Alexa woke up on Saturday morning, determined that this would be the day that she called Olivia. Wednesday, she decided for sure to talk to her sister. But she hadn't wanted to do it when either of them was at work, because that wasn't a conversation she wanted to have inside her office when she might be overheard. Thursday, she decided to call her when she got home after work, since it would only be around 9 or 10 New York time, and Olivia would still be awake. But by the time she got home that night, it was 7:30, and she decided that was too late. Friday, she'd admitted to herself she was procrastinating. But she decided Saturday was a better day for a conversation like this anyway, which meant she had to actually make that call today. Or Sunday. Maybe Sunday was an even better day for a call like this. She threw back the covers and forced herself out of bed to make coffee. No. She had to do it today. She'd barely been able to concentrate on anything this week, between this hanging over her head and the thoughts of Drew, which were constantly in her head. Maddie was right. She should have told him how she'd felt. At least then she wouldn't have this constant, overwhelming feeling of regret. And at least she wouldn't feel like such a coward. She downed a cup of coffee and shook off the thoughts of Drew. She just needed to get through this week. If she got through the city council meeting on Thursday, win or lose, she could spend the entire next weekend in bed wallowing with French fries and ice cream. And Theo and Drew were both right that she had to talk to Olivia before the meeting. The coffee swirled around in her empty stomach as she picked up the phone. Someday she really should switch to tea. She retreated to bed and got under the covers before she scrolled to Olivia's name in her phone.
Hey, kiddo.
Alexa heard street noise in the background.
How are you this Saturday afternoon?
Olivia laughed.
Morning still for you, I guess.
Good. Alexa could tell her voice was too high and tried to moderate it.
Where are you? Are you busy?
Maybe she'd be too busy to talk right now and they wouldn't have to have this conversation.
No, just walking home from brunch. What are you up to?
Shit. Okay. She had to do it then. Just drinking coffee at home, trying to take a deep breath after a long week. Well, that was an understatement.
Yeah? What's going on? How's work going?
She just needed to get it out. It was the only way to start this. Actually, that's why I called. I've been... The mayor has a new initiative for an arts program for at-risk youth, and that's what I...
Yeah, I've been reading about that. I had a feeling it was your idea. Great job, kiddo.
Alexa took the phone away from her ear and looked at it. Olivia already knew?
You've been reading about it?
Alexa could hear an elevator ding through Olivia's laughter.
Of course I've been reading about it. You think I don't pay attention to what my little sister is doing? I'm so proud of you for this. City council meeting is this week, right?
Alexa sat up in bed. This conversation was not going the way she'd anticipated.
Yeah, Thursday. I didn't know...
She stopped and started again. She'd missed out on the opportunity to be honest with Drew. The least she could do was be honest with her own sister.
I was scared to tell you. I didn't realize you already knew.
Alexa could hear Olivia open and close her front door.
Lexi, why were you so scared to tell me? This is a great thing you're doing.
She teared up at the nickname.
I wanted to tell you, but we still don't know if it's going to get through the council. I didn't want to tell you anything was in the works until it passed. I didn't want to fail you again.
Alexa picked up her coffee cup, realized her hand was shaking, and put it back down on her bedside table.
Again? What do you mean, again?
Alexa twisted her sheets around her fingers to stop the trembling.
I was terrible to you. When we were in high school and everything blew up, I was such a bad sister. And I wanted to make up for that.
Oh, God, this was even harder than she thought it would be. Tears were running down her face now. She hadn't cried this much in 1 week since that week she'd gotten her period right before the bar exam.
You've been worried about that all this time? You don't have anything to make up for. I know there's still friction between us sometimes, but that's not because I'm still mad at you or hold anything against you for what happened back then. Yes, things were pretty bad that year, but we were kids.
Alexa let out a sob. She wiped her face with the bottom of her tank top.
I know, but that doesn't make it okay. I wish I hadn't been like that to you. Lexi, you've done so much for me, Olivia said. You've supported me during times when I needed you the most. You flew to New York at the last minute to move me out of that terrible apartment when I'd gotten dumped, remember? And you...
Alexa broke in, still sniffling.
But I've never told you how sorry I am. I'm sorry, Livy. I'm so sorry for what I said and how I acted. I've regretted it for years, but I've been too ashamed and too scared to apologize. I guess this program was going to be my apology. But whether or not the council passes it, I need to say it out loud, too.
She could hear sniffling on the other side of the phone now.
Oh, honey. Apology accepted. I'm glad you said it, but I didn't need to hear it. I always knew you were sorry. I'm so glad my experience inspired you. The teens of Berkeley are lucky to have you championing them.
Alexa's tears kept falling. But they were happy ones now. She got up to pour herself more coffee and maybe make some toast to settle her stomach.
Thank you. That means so much for you to say.
She could hear the gurgle of Olivia's coffee maker in the background and almost laughed. Like sister, like sister.
Okay, so tell me everything about this TARP program of yours that hasn't been in the paper. Terrible acronym, by the way. Who came up with that? And whatever happened with the dude from the elevator?
Alexa reached for the expensive jam from Paris she'd been saving. She deserved it today.
Oh, Liv, I have so much to tell you.
Drew walked through the hospital on Sunday morning, relieved that he'd finally recovered from his hangover from Friday night. Copious amounts of junk food the day before and a long run where alcohol came out of his pores were the only things that stopped his curses at Carlos and all of that damn beer he'd bought. If only the solution to what he would do about Alexa was so easy to find. Could he tell her how he felt about her? What if she didn't feel the same way?
Wouldn't it be easier to pretend he'd never met her? These were the questions that had been spinning through his mind for a day and a half, with no answers. He'd been all ready to text her on Friday night, but Carlos confiscated his phone. Probably for the best. The half-written text he saw when he woke up Saturday morning said something nonsensical about how much he missed her naked body against his. While that was true, it was probably the wrong way to approach this problem. He didn't know the right way yet. He got up to the fifth floor and waved at the nurse at the desk. He ducked his head into the third room on the left and found who he was looking for. "Hey, buddy. How are you doing?" "Dr. Nick!" Jack grinned at him from his chair and waved. "Did you come to visit me?" He walked over and sat down next to him, exchanging smiles with Abby. "Sure did. Haven't seen you in a little while. Wanted to check and see how one of my favorite dudes is doing." He sat back and let Jack's animated chatter wash over him until it slowed and finally stopped. "He's asleep," he said to Abby. She'd been pretending to read her book the whole time they talked, but he'd noticed that she hadn't turned a page. "Yeah, the chemo takes a lot out of him." She closed her book and smiled at him. "Thanks for coming by, though. I know he loved seeing you." He looked over at Jack, who looked even younger than usual, sound asleep, and hooked up to multiple IVs. "I loved seeing him, too, even though it's tough to see him like this." Tears jumped to Abby's eyes, and he felt like an ass. If it was hard for him to see Jack like this, how did he think his mother felt? "I talked to Dr. Sullivan, though. She said his prognosis is good. She seemed very hopeful." Abby wiped the tears out of her eyes and smiled at him. "She said that to us, too. But it's good that wasn't just what she says to parents. Thanks for telling me that. I know doctors tell one another the real story." He touched Jack's head, careful not to wake him up. "No problem. I was pretty worried about him. I was very relieved when I talked to Dr. Sullivan, though..." Abby closed her book and tucked it in her purse. "I know. There are no guarantees. Thanks regardless." She looked at his hand, still on Jack's head. "How's your friend Alexa?" He sighed. He should have anticipated that Abby would bring up Alexa. "That bad, huh?" Abby said, as he looked for a way to answer. "Can I assume that she is, or was, more than a friend?" He made a face at her, and she laughed. "Like you didn't already know that," he sighed. "This is not a normal doctor-patient conversation, but we hit a roadblock. Time will tell if it's a bump in the road or more of a brick wall." She sat back in her chair and folded her hands. "I'm guessing from the look on your face that you want it to be the former?" He moved his hand from Jack's head and looked her in the eye. "More than anything, I just don't quite know how to make that happen." She smiled at him. "Oh, that's easy. What does she want more than anything, even if she hasn't told you? Do that for her." He let out a bark of laughter, checked to make sure he hadn't woken Jack up, and kept laughing more quietly. "That's easy? Good Lord, what's hard to you?" He glanced back at Jack. "Oh," now Abby laughed. "I wasn't even going to play the kid with cancer card, but you did it for me. Look, if you want to be with her, which from the look on your face you do, find a way to be with her. It's really as simple as that, once you clear away everything else." He laughed again. "Well, when you put it that way..." Actually, when she put it that way, it really was that simple. He closed his eyes and nodded. Now he knew what he had to do, what he wanted to do. He just hoped this was what Alexa wanted too, or else he'd look like a real idiot. "When you put it that way, you might be right." He stood up. "Thanks, Abby. I hope you've solved my problem for me." She smiled at him and ran her hand over Jack's head. "I hope so, too. Keep me posted, will you?" He saluted her on his way out of the room. "Absolutely." He went straight to his office. He had a phone call to make. Chapter 25 Alexa was at work by 7 in the morning on the day of the city council meeting, even though it didn't start until 6 that night. At this point, being at work was easier than being at home. At work, there was something for her to do. She felt needed. She felt important. At home, she was alone.